This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. My brothers and sisters, how many of you have missed a train? Make a bit of noise. That's almost everyone here, mashallah. You've missed a train, even by a fraction, by a moment. So I want to give you a few examples. Imagine yourself having booked a beautiful cruise, a holiday somewhere in the world, and it's a huge ship going from port to port, perhaps city to city, island to island for 2 weeks. What they do is they will dock, they will stop, they will let you come off, they will let you disembark and spend the day at that particular place. And they will give you a time to tell you, 4:30, you've got to be back. And you should have boarded this ship because 5 o'clock, we're going to leave. Imagine a huge ship docking on an island and you're in the ship enjoying yourself, 5-star cruise. And suddenly, when they dock, they've stopped, you spent the day on an island, and as you are rushing back, you notice it's already 5 o'clock. And what happened? The ship started moving, and you're standing there, waiting, looking, in shock, in awe, looking at the ship moving, looking back at the island, and thinking, now what? Can you picture that? Now what? You are going to have to make a plan B and C because you were late. It was your fault. If they told you 4:30, you've got to be here, you should have been there at 4:20, at 4:15, at 4 o'clock, you'd rather wait. The same applies. All of you who said you've missed a train, you should have been there early waiting for the train. The train does not wait for you. You have to wait for the train. Even if the train is late, you were meant to be there on time so that perhaps if the train pitched up, you wouldn't miss it. But if you were late by a fraction of a second and those doors closed, the fault is yours. You are going to have to make a plan B and C. You are going to miss perhaps a lot of meetings, perhaps your lectures at school or university or whatever else it may have been. Your work, you might miss hours. The same applies if you were to look at an aircraft. If you are to come to the boarding gate too late, the boarding gates will close. You can see the aircraft. It has not yet taken off. Sometimes the doors are still open, but because they've closed the flight, you've missed it. What's going to happen? Plan B or C or D. You will have to pay. You will have to change. You will have to get accommodation. It's going to cost you a lot. Sometimes you should know, as much as you might blame yourself, if you were the lazy one, if you were the one who was at fault without anyone else to be blamed, then as much as you are hard on yourself, it's a lesson for the next time. Don't become depressed because you missed the boat or you missed the flight or you missed the train. It's okay. Let me understand. I need to do better next time. And I also need to make sure that I'm going to make a plan B for now. But if it was not your fault, someone else's fault, smile and thank Allah. Thank Allah even more. Not to say you should not thank Allah when it was your mistake, but you share, you have an element or a certain portion of the blame that you know I was at fault. I left too late. I did not take into consideration the traffic and so on. So if you look at this, you will understand the level of blame upon you is to a certain point, but you have to be happy with the decree of Allah. I witnessed in Addis Ababa a few years ago, we landed from Dubai and we were taking off to Harare. We landed, we got off the flight. I met a few people on that plane, mashallah, and there was a plane going to Kenya. It was going to Tanzania and Kenya, if I'm not mistaken, and it was before ours. So people rushed to that flight because they needed to catch the connection. Ours was a little bit later. I saw a brother come to the gate a little bit late, and he was crazy, mad, angry. He said, "It's 1 minute, 1 minute. The flight is still here. The doors are still open. Everything is here. Let me on this flight." They said, "Sorry." "No." And he started saying whatever he wanted to say. He lost his cool. I tell you what, that flight took off. Sometime into its journey, they crashed and everybody passed away. The same brother, thanking Allah, after you were yelling at the staff for your own fault, whatever it was, he was delayed at security or wherever it was. But thank Allah. Why? You don't know the future. Allah knows the future. Brothers, you still haven't turned on the lights. Mashallah. I think we can turn them on at about 50%, inshallah. I mean, I'm not even facing this direction because I can barely see anyone. Make some noise there. Let's hear you. There it goes. See? Subhanallah. So my brothers and sisters on earth, anything that happens, Allah Almighty has set a time. He has a fixed time for it, and He will cause your birth, your death at a time that He has prescribed. He will allow you to achieve something or not to achieve it. He's prescribed it. You need to know He's given you a capacity that you need to ensure you've made full use of. Don't be lazy. Work hard to achieve what you believe is beneficial. And don't ever blame Allah. Allah does good. He does not do bad. Allah does good. He does not do bad. Subhanallah. So, why I started off this way is in life, there are so many trains. The trains will keep moving. If we've missed them, all those who were on the train will get to the destination by the will of Allah. We were the ones who did not get onto the train. If we missed the ship, it was us to blame. We are the ones who did not get onto the ship. But the ship got to the next destination and the following one. Who was to blame? It was us. The same applies to anything. I tell you, when you do not get up for Salatul Fajr, your friends got up. They went to the masjid. They did their salah. You were snoring. You got up at 8, at 9, whatever time it was. Guess what? You missed the train. They did not. They got up. If you get up the following day, you will catch the next train by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your friends are dressed modestly and you are not, guess what? Allah Almighty chooses His people whom He wants to worship Him. That's the reason why those got up for Salatul Fajr and these dressed modestly, because Allah chose the people. And Allah Almighty knows that if one decides, "I'm not going to do this," they are the ones who've missed the train. The rest of them are moving on. I've been to Africa. I've been to so many different places in Africa and Asia and so many other places where I see people who perhaps do not have much in terms of material wealth, but they are fulfilling their salah. I will never forget, in Malawi once we went to a place that was very rural, very, very underdeveloped. And as we entered the place, it was time for Salatul Asr, and we heard Sami Allahu liman hamida in the bush. And so many people rose from ruku', from the position of bowing in salah, and they rose up, and I was shocked. I see these poor people who have almost nothing materially, but here they are worshiping Allah. No one is watching them. No one is asking them. No one is telling them to do that, but they have a connection with Allah. And here we are, we missed the train. Who caught it? They all caught it. Where are they going? They're going to Jannah. And where are we going? Inshallah, we go to Jannah too. Inshallah, we go to Jannah too. Earlier, Brother Isa Khan was here speaking about Quranly, the best Quran habit building app that I've come across. And I promise you, when I saw there was a stage when every day 1 million verses are being read across the globe within a certain time. I'm sure that figure is gone much more. And in Ramadan, it goes much more. How many of those are yours? Even if it's not counted on that particular app. But how many were yours? If they were not there, you missed the train. The others are reading Quran. You are the one who's not reading. So you are the one who's lazy. You are the one who's procrastinating. You are the one who has not yet started. Who is to blame? It's you and you alone. The others are all on it. There are people sitting around today. You won't imagine how much of Quran they read, how much of tahajjud they engage in, how much of dua and adhkar they do. But when you look at them, they might appear not so religious. But they are on the train, on the boat, on the plane. And where am I? I'm way off the mark. May Allah grant me and all of us good guidance. So you look at someone and they tell you, no, I haven't missed tahajjud, mashallah, in 8 years. Wow, subhanallah. And here I am struggling with Salatul Fajr. Can you imagine? So I am saying you must make sure you push yourself, because others are already there at the station waiting for that particular train. I can't be late. In fact, you and I would never want to miss a plane going to a destination for a holiday, but we miss the plane going to Jannah, which was just to get early for Salatul Fajr on time. Many of us, myself included, guilty of sometimes thinking to ourselves, you know what, I will do it just now. When I'm on a journey, sometimes we're traveling, and because we have a little bit of a discount during the being on a journey, we sometimes say, okay, we will do Salatul Asr at this particular time. We'll delay it a little bit in order to accommodate for X, Y, and Z. It's permissible, but I tell you what I've learned. Do not do that. Read it as soon as you can. Fulfill your Salah. You never know what might distract you and your Salah will not be in place. Can you imagine? May Allah Almighty grant us ease. And this is why I say, be strong. Fulfill your Salah on time. If you're not doing five, there are so many others, unsuspecting when you look at them, who are fulfilling all five Salah. Who missed the train? You missed it. You have a bad habit. There are people who quit the drugs. You are the one who's still on it. You are the one who's missing out. There are people who gave up smoking. You are the one who's still smoking. How? Your friends have given up. The people who introduced you to the drugs are already off those drugs. But you are the one who remained. You need to work harder, do better. The people who introduced you to the clubs have left the clubs. You are the one who's still stuck there. The people who perhaps might have introduced you to a sin, they've left it long time ago. They've plugged in with Allah. They've realized it was a phase where we were in the trap of shaitan and we've divorced ourselves from that. But there they are, achieving, and here we are, stuck where we were. May Allah grant us strength. My beloved children, my brothers, my sisters, you know what the right thing is. You should do it, and you must push yourself, because if you don't push yourself, nobody is going to push you. You are the one who will lose out. When we go to Mecca for Umrah, you see the people and you tell yourself, wow, Allah's brought them from all over the world. Some of them have saved up for years. I was in Indonesia not too long ago. They told me between 30 and 40 years it takes for a person to go for Hajj after they've registered their names. So they register at the age of 20. They end up going at the age of 55, 60. Do you believe that? Subhanallah. And this is why a lot of them are older people, because it's not so easy to go. They have a quota. They have more than 250, 280 million people in the country. And so many want to go for Hajj. They just can't cope. And this is happening with more and more countries. When you go and you see them crying to Allah, where are your tears? Have you ever cried to Allah? Have you ever got up in the middle of the night and said, oh Allah, forgive me, help me, strengthen me, love me, oh Allah. If Allah loves you, I tell you, He will help you to get up and to obey Him. One of the signs of the love of Allah. You want to know if Allah loves you? He makes it easier for you to obey His instruction and command. It becomes easy. You enjoy your prayer. You enjoy dressing appropriately, and you don't mind what people think of you. I'm dressed appropriately in a better way than I used to for the sake of Allah. That's what I'm doing. So this is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are not going to push yourself to do the right thing, like I said, watch those who come to Mecca for Umrah or for Hajj, and they change their lives. They come back a different person. But when we came back, what did we do? We got back to the bad habits that we had before we went. What was the point of the journey? What was the point of the journey? May Allah Almighty forgive us. My brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to realize that Allah gives you opportunities, and those opportunities are limited. I'm going to read a verse for you, and I want you to look at the Prophet Noah, Nuh alayhi salam, when he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I've called my people for 950 years. I called them openly, I called them in secret. I called them during the daylight, I called them at night. I did whatever I could, and you know what? They are simply not accepting the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him something that's a lesson for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنْ. Allahu Akbar. O Nuh, from your people, nobody else is going to accept the message. The rest of them will not. Whoever's accepted it has accepted it. The rest of them, it's over. The punishment had not yet come. Allah told him, now we have a plan. We want you to build the ark and we want you to do whatever, knowing that you no more have to call these people towards Allah, because none of them are going to come to Allah. That's what Allah says. What does this mean? This means that there was a time where Noah was calling them, may peace be upon him. He was calling them towards Allah. They heard it once, they heard it twice, they heard it as many times as Allah wanted them to hear it. Their ears received the message. Their brains processed the message. Their system heard the message. Allah will ask them about it, but they were given a quota, a number, a limit. Allah says, you are going to be reminded 500 times. After that, it's over. You are going to be reminded 5,000 times. After that, it's over. You are going to be reminded 50 times. After that, it's over. Every one of us has a limit that Allah has chosen already for us. So whenever you hear someone reminding you about Allah, reminding you about doing good, helping others, worshiping Allah alone, staying away from haram, doing that which is halal, being charitable, giving in charity, and so on, remember that that is Allah. It's counted against you. It's written against your name. You heard it? Well, you heard it. There you are. It got to your ears. It did. What did you do about it? You are going to have to answer to Allah. You are going to have to answer to Allah. What did you do about it? You heard it tonight? What did I say? I have said we all need to do better. We need to push ourselves to do the right thing, because others are already doing the right thing. Why should I lose out? Why should I be the one who missed my train all the time? I must catch it. I must be there. People must really get up for Salatul Fajr. When you get to the masjid, you will be surprised to see people you didn't imagine would be there for Fajr, and they are there. Subhanallah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah grant us ease. Imagine there is an examination at school and you forgot to put your clock. I'm sure it's happened to some people. And you wake up after the exam's already over because you were studying all night. You know the all-nighters? You get them, right? All night we're studying because in the morning there's an exam. Just before, half an hour before the exam, you fall off to sleep. And guess what happens? Sometimes you end up missing the exam. And sometimes you didn't sleep all night. You got to the exam like a zombie. And you look, you can see it says 11 plus 11. No, my brother, it's just asking you 1 plus 1, but you can see double. Because you were awake all night, right? You got to look carefully. If you've missed it completely and you get up and you see 10 o'clock, your heart starts thudding. Why? You missed an exam. What's going to happen now? Yes, what is going to happen now? When Allah tests us, can you imagine? Allah wants us to pass. He gives us another chance and another chance. And this is why we say, when Allah says He loves those who repent often, guess what the silver lining is in that verse? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Beautiful verse. One such verse. There are so many others where Allah says He loves those who repent. And in this one He says those who are clean and cleanse themselves and so on. But the word used is tawwab. Tawwab is someone who turns often, not just one, many times. Why would you repent? Imagine I come to you and say, I'm sorry. Sorry for what? If I walked up to you and I said, I'm sorry, what are you going to ask me? For what? For what? And I said, no, but I am sorry. But what are you sorry for? You might think I'm crazy, right? If Allah says He loves those who repent, who say, who apologize, or who repent, or who seek forgiveness often and often, it means it's preceded by a sin. That means they may have sinned more than once. Allah says, you know what? For as long as you're not making a joke of the sin, for as long as you're not belittling or insulting Allah through that, you sinned out of human nature, not out of insulting Allah, or not out of belittling the status of your maker, human nature. Allah says, I will forgive you again and again and again and again. Because if Allah loves those who seek forgiveness, they have to have committed some form of a sin, minor or major. May Allah protect us. I'm not belittling the status of a sin in terms of how bad it is. But I am telling you that if you have sinned because you're a human and you will sin, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Don't. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. No matter what it is, Allah will forgive you and Allah will grant you the forgiveness. And He says He loves those who seek forgiveness. So with Allah, if you've missed the train, guess what? There is a train that's coming that you just found out about after the train you missed. And it is faster than the one you missed and is going direct. It's going to get to the destination 10 minutes before the other one. Whoa, you're going to smile and it's cheaper. It costs less. And you're going to smile and say, "Ooh, just as well I missed the train," right? This is Allah telling you that when you seek forgiveness, have hope in the mercy of Allah, you will get to your destination. When you've changed your entire life after seeking forgiveness, Allah says, we do you a bigger favor than your imagination. What is the bigger favor? Allah Almighty says, "Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan faulaika yubaddilu Allah sayyiatihim hasanat wa kana Allah ghafuran rahima." Those who seek forgiveness, or the one who sought forgiveness, returned to Allah. Tawbah is when you've changed your life. You came back to Allah. You see, if I do something wrong and I'm walking on the wrong path and I seek forgiveness, Allah will forgive me, but there's something wrong still. I have not changed my life and changed the whole course. So chances are I will probably fall in again and again and again. Can I give you an example? When you have bad friends who are all into a certain habit that's haram and you are with them and you say, "Oh Allah, forgive me," but you are still with them and you keep sinning every time you see them. So you sinned again, "Oh Allah, forgive me." You sinned again, "Oh Allah, forgive me." You haven't changed. But if you unplugged from that group and got into another group that was now doing the right thing, what did you do? You not only did istighfar, but you did tawbah as well. You sought forgiveness and you returned to Allah. You changed the path to the right path. You walked on the right path. You went with the right people. You did the right thing. Like I said, push yourself. Allah says, if you seek forgiveness by changing your life and doing good deeds thereafter. So it's not like I kept on doing. If you do, you seek forgiveness, Allah forgives. You do, you seek forgiveness, Allah forgives. But Allah says you want a bonus, something beyond your imagination. You do, you seek forgiveness, you change your life. You don't do anymore the wrong thing. You started doing the right thing and you excelled in it. And now if you fell, you fell not because you were walking on the wrong path, but it was something totally unplanned. It was something to a lesser degree, perhaps. Allah says, when you've repented and changed your life and done good deeds, those are the people whom we take the bad that they've done in their lives, we convert it into good, and we put it on the right side of the scale, and they are the ones who will see those bad deeds as good deeds that they did not even commit. How is that possible? You didn't do the good deeds, you see them. Because Allah says, when you left something for me and only me, then I consider that an act of worship. You did not need to leave it. What made you leave it is because you love me, you care for your relationship with me, and you want to please me and worship me alone. So I will go back and look at all the things you could have done. And because you did not do them out of your love of me and your intention to worship me alone, I give you a reward for it. I convert it into good. Subhanallah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever intends to commit a sin and planned to commit a sin and then does not do it and abstains from it, Allah rewards them. Subhanallah. I remember a youngster, I might have said this before, I have said it, but I'm not too sure exactly where. I remember a youngster, when I said this in one of my talks, he came to me afterwards and he says, is it okay for me to just sit and plan sins? And then I don't do them. Because you said Allah will reward you when you've planned a sin and you don't do it. So can I just sit and plan sins and then not do it? I said, my son, listen to me. That is so cheap, because you can do a good deed and Allah says we will multiply it 10 times to 700 times, only Allah knows. He will multiply the reward of the good deeds if you've done them correctly in a proper way. So why do you want to suffice with one reward for having not done something that was supposed? Because if you did it, you would be sinful. Allah is showing you when you don't do it, you have to get a reward. It's like where the Prophet ﷺ was explaining that when you're married, to be intimate with your spouse is an act of worship. You must make sure you are intimate with your spouse because you owe your spouse that right. And it is something Allah is pleased with simply because He wants you to do that. Do you know this? Allah wants you to be intimate with your spouse. And if you are not intimate with your spouse and your spouse is not happy with that, you need to do better by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh messenger, you're talking of intimacy, like, you know, we're sleeping with each other. See, intimacy, my spouse, I get a reward for it? You know what he said? He says, if the intimacy was in haram, would the person get a sin? They said, yes, he would. Well, if it was in halal, he would definitely get a reward, or she would get a reward. You see what's going on now? So the alternative, if you stayed away from haram, you're rewarded. You do that which is halal, you are rewarded, multiplied. Subhanallah. You know, I mentioned the issue of intimacy, and I must say, my brothers and sisters, many times when people are married, beginning of the marriage, everyone's excited and happy. They go on a honeymoon. I still don't know why they call it a honeymoon. Does anyone know? Call it a honeymoon. Because I ask people, was there any honey there? They say no. Was there a moon? They say no. So what was there? So one sheikh answered me. He says, no, your wife is supposed to be honey. You know, you're supposed to call her honey, you know, and she's supposed to call you the moon. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. May Allah grant us ease. Anyway, those are theories. But after that period, what happens? Then you might have a child at some point and people show it, they're disinterested. No more. Not intimate. Why? I don't feel like. What do you mean you don't feel like? Allah asks you to fulfill that in a halal way, to earn a reward as an act of worship for the sake of Allah, to be able to do it, because it's not just about one person. It's about both of you. May Allah help us to become more conscious of one another's needs and try our best to fulfill them in the best possible way. Ameen. That's Akhi Ayman saying Ameen so loud. Did you hear him? Don't think you can get away. That's a distinct sound. May Allah bless us all. So the point here is, going back to what I was saying about repentance, seek forgiveness of Allah, because others have already sought forgiveness. They have changed their lives. I've known youngsters who have grown up and they've had a few bad habits, and I've met them after some time and I've seen their lives changed, and I'm so happy, super delighted. Especially most of the time it's changed for the better. And you thank Allah, oh mashallah, look at this young lad, you know, look at this guy, subhanallah, how Allah has brought him in. The question I have for you and I, have we come in? Now, the excuse some people say, well, Allah hasn't written guidance for me. How can you say that? Do you know that? You don't know that. So don't use that as an excuse. People say, Allah wrote it. You know, someone committed a sin and comes and says, well, Allah wrote it. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, there was a thief who had stolen. They brought him, to be punished. He says, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, before you punish me, I stole because Allah wrote that I was going to steal. Why do you punish me? You see? So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was extremely intelligent. Guess what he says? Well, Allah wrote that we were going to punish you, so now come, let's punish you. Simple as that. Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. So don't blame Allah. What's happening in Gaza? We don't blame Allah. We blame those who are perpetrating the genocide. They are committing the genocide. You see, today is dedicated to Gaza, even though it's more than a year on, but it's dedicated. The colors behind me depict and show that it's dedicated to Gaza. What happened earlier, Brother Rahim came on. What was it all about? It was about Gaza. Our hearts are bleeding for everywhere on the globe where brothers and sisters are bleeding and they are struggling. If we cannot reach them in one way, we will reach them in another way by the will of Allah. We feel helpless. We are helpless. We were here last year talking about the same, and we will not let them down. Today we will talk about the same again. May Allah Almighty grant them victory. May Allah return their lands to them. And may Allah Almighty protect all of them. Ameen. And don't belittle a charity you've given or a dua you've made, because trust me, dua works. Miracles happen, and they do happen. I was speaking to a brother from Syria, and he told me, you know what? Miracles happen. Miracles definitely happen, because we would never have dreamt that this tyrant would have actually disappeared so quickly. I say, thank Allah, thank Allah, thank Allah. It's a miracle that happened. No one would have imagined suddenly, in a short span of time, and everything turned and changed. May Allah protect the people of Syria. May Allah grant them goodness. May Allah Almighty protect them from enemies within and enemies outside. Because many a time we feel we've been victorious, and then we are let down by so many factors. May Allah Almighty protect all of us. So my brothers and sisters, imagine those people who are suffering. What do they need from you? They need you firstly to be connected to Allah, to be able to feel the connection with them. If I see a creature walk past here, creature, say an animal, say a cat, say a dog. Why would I care for the dog? There's a reason. I'm a Muslim. I worship Allah. I'm trying to please Allah. The same Allah I'm trying to impress created this dog. I need to make sure I'm not going to harm this creature of Allah. That's why the hadith speaks about a man who earned forgiveness because he was kind to a dog. A woman who earned forgiveness because she was kind to a cat. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is why, because Allah wants you to connect with Him so that you realize and understand who the rest of the people are. Today in the Ummah, we have differences with one another. At times, you have someone who goes to this masjid, that masjid, the other masjid. I tell you, one of the facts, yes, I believe I'm on the right path, but these are my brothers and sisters. I might disagree with them on five important matters, but I tell you what, I still consider them my brothers and sisters of the Shahada, come what may, because the enemy wants you and I to dispute in a way that we have no might, no power, no plan. They will destroy this. When they're done with this, they will destroy the other. While this one was being destroyed, everyone else was laughing, or they were saying they deserve it. I'm sure you've heard that sometimes, right? Because we just go to a different masjid. They say they deserved it. They did not deserve it. May Allah guide them and guide us and guide all of us. But we are all needed. We are part of an ummah. And this is why those who preach division are the ones who are far from Allah. Those who want to look at that which separates you and divides you without looking at the common factors. And I'm not belittling the differences of opinion, or I'm not saying that you have to all be right. I'm right. I don't want to belittle that. I believe so. Where I'm proven wrong, I will change it. I need to have the evidence. I need to know. I need to be convinced. But at the same time, I need to also realize, as an ummah, we have differences. We will. Let's discuss them. Let's see in a respectful manner. And while discussing them, I still consider you my brother. You are still my sister. I still care for you. And I care for the whole ummah. That's the only way we will be able to protect one another. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness and ease. So, my brothers and sisters, this beautiful gathering we have tonight, I pray that we promise Allah that we will do better in our lives, and we will not miss the opportunities Allah gives us. Now, can I tell you what opportunities Allah gives us? I started off talking about three things: the train, the ship, and the plane. Ramadan is a train. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is a ship perhaps, for example, and you have opportunities every night at the time of tahajjud is a plane. Ramadan cannot come by when I have not changed my life. I need to jump on that train and make use of it and be on it full speed and make sure that I'm not lazy. It's only 30 days. I always tell myself if Ramadan was less than 30 days, it wouldn't even say hello, it would be over. And if Ramadan was more than 30 days, people would become bored. Imagine the divine planning of Allah. 30 days, 29 to 30. Beautiful timing. You kick off with a bang. And what happens thereafter? You go forth and you enjoy it. You get to 15 days and you take the end much more seriously. But if Ramadan was 40 days, I promise you, it wouldn't have the same impact. It's not 40 days. And if Ramadan was only 10 days, you're just about warming up and next thing it's gone. Allah blessed you and I. He knows you and I. He created us. He gave us a proper month and He says, this is the month of forgiveness, the month of the Quran, the month of fasting, the month of charity, the month of so much goodness. Do the goodness, make sure you do it. And we don't have to wait for Ramadan to seek the forgiveness of Allah, because you and I might not see Ramadan. A few days ago, a friend of mine from Malaysia, 46 years old, perhaps 47 years old, suddenly heart attack and he is in a coma, apparently brain dead. And the family is deciding what to do. I wouldn't have imagined. He messaged me a few days before telling me, inshallah, we will meet in January in Malaysia and in Indonesia. And subhanallah, now he is in ICU, literally fighting for his life. This is a few days ago. How old? We would say young, not even 50. What guarantee do I have, you have, that we're not going to go? So before we return to Allah, let us turn to Allah. Did you hear that? Before we return to Allah, let us turn to Allah. Because it is only when we turn to Allah that we will achieve the success of this world and the next. Not just one. We will achieve the success of this world and the next. So push yourself. Ramadan comes, push yourself. A Friday comes. A Friday comes. A Friday is the most blessed day of the week. Take it seriously. Make sure you make your dua, supplication to Allah. Ask Allah what you want. Seek forgiveness from Allah. There is an hour or a certain time during the Friday within which no matter what you ask Allah, He will grant you and He will give you. If you are serious about a dua or a supplication, you will repeat it from the morning of the Friday throughout the day, the whole day, because you know that at least one moment within that whole day would have been the moment when dua or supplication is being accepted. So Friday is another type of a train. Catch the train. Your fajr is a train. Catch the train. Your dress is a train. Catch the train. What you listen to in your ears is a train. Make sure you catch the train. Sometimes you're on the wrong train. A little joke came to mind. Can I say it? Talking about the wrong train, some people think they're too clever. So this guy was going to London. He jumps on the train that was heading up to Glasgow. And he didn't realize, because he was busy on his phone or whatever it was. And so, sometime later, he's asking the people, saying, you know what? Where are you guys going? Meaning, they said, no, we're going to London. We're going to Glasgow. He's going to London, right? So, they got hold of, he started getting angry and upset. And they got hold of the guy who checks the tickets. And when he realized, he tells him, don't worry, this side is going to London and that side is going to Glasgow. He said, okay, I'm going to sit on this side. Look at how foolish the joke was. Nobody laughed. Come on, laugh just to make me happy. There we go. I love these little boys. They remind me of my kids. When I crack a dad joke, they say, tickle me, I want to laugh. May Allah bless you all. Allah grant ease. But nonetheless, these are all trains. Sometimes you're on the wrong train, meaning you have your earphones. You can either have something beneficial. You're listening to an audio book. You're listening to some Quran. You're listening to Nasheed. You're listening to a good talk. You're listening to something beneficial. Or you could be listening to something that's almost pornographic. You could be. And sometimes it's so loud that you don't even know. People greet you and you don't even care. So it's up to you. Are you on the right train? Sometimes you do have those earphones, but you're on the wrong train. And sometimes, subhanAllah, we as human beings need a reminder again and again. And these reminders should not upset you. They should make you happy. Someone got up and reminded me to do the right thing. If you want to change something, my brothers and sisters, tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. You want to change something, you know what you need to change. You know what you need to stop. You know what you need to do. Do it tonight. By the will of Allah. Allah holds us accountable. Would you not like to see solution across the globe for the struggling that the ummah is going through right now? And not just the ummah, but humanity at large. So much of chaos. I promise you, the first step you need to take is to recognize your maker. To recognize the one who made entire creation. And then you do everything else that needs to be done. Whatever is in your capacity, because each one of us is given a different capacity. So whatever your capacity is, use that capacity to do whatever you can for your brothers and sisters who are struggling. I always tell myself, imagine, if I've lost a loved one, they've lost all their loved ones. If I've lost some money, they've lost their livelihood and the livelihood of entire community. If I've lost something, a little accident, a motor vehicle, their houses were blown to smithereens. And there they are saying, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And here we are, so stressed and depressed, like the world has come to an end. Yet comparatively, nothing has happened to us yet. Do you see what I'm saying? May Allah Almighty grant us lesson. May Allah make us grateful people. And I want to end off by speaking about gratitude. Gratitude, my brothers and sisters, people say, thank Allah, thank Allah. How do I thank Allah? The first way of thanking Allah is by doing what He wants and staying away from what He does not want you to do. That's the first way of thanking Allah. I thank Allah by worshipping Him. My five salah shows that I thank Allah. My zakat shows that I thank Allah. My fasting shows that I thank Allah. When I add the Monday and Thursday, it shows that I'm grateful to Allah. When I add 13, 14, 15, it shows my gratitude to Allah. When I start dressing more modestly, it shows my gratitude to Allah. When I start doing the right thing and when I'm staying away from haram, it shows that I'm grateful to Allah. So it's helped me to streamline myself in line with Allah. That's why when we get up for prayer, we say, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And it goes on. I have faced my face to the one who created the heavens and the earth, Allah. That's what I've done. May Allah strengthen all of us. Show gratitude to Allah by quitting your bad habits. Gratitude to Allah, no matter what the bad habit is. Show gratitude to Allah by doing the right thing. Show gratitude to Allah by investing in your children and your family members, spending time with them, quality time with them. Teach them goodness, teach them Quran. When you sit with your kids and teach them alif and ba and so on, I promise you, after your death, one of the best things you could have ever done was the fact that you taught your kids something they are reading after you, and you had taught them every letter they read. You're getting a full reward for it. Every time they raise their hands in dua, you're getting a reward for it. Subhanallah. May Allah make it easy for all of us. That's how you show gratitude. And with that, you also thank Allah verbally with your tongue. Laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. We thank you, we praise you, O Allah. And your adhkar, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These are words of gratitude to Allah and praise of Allah. May Allah Almighty accept all of us and grant us ease and goodness. May Allah accept this beautiful gathering here this evening. And may Allah Almighty grant us the best of both worlds. Aqulu qawli hadha. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.